Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles back. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know the page in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Thank you, David, for reading those verses a few moments ago. I know you've been studying these verses, this book, week by week, or sometimes interrupted by other weeks. Well done in your persevering. it seems to me the epistle, this has probably been covered before, four major things. First of all, it talks about the Apostle Paul's authority and calling, about his living faith and love for the people of Galatia. So it's about Paul. Secondly, it's in the context of the local church or local churches, where there can be, in this context, false teaching and false teachers. We need to be alert to that. Thirdly, truths of the gospel, of message, are affirmed, and the message of salvation. That's good. And fourthly, and not least, directives for practical Christian living. And that comes out in these verses as in others. So let's look at chapter 6 and verses 1 to 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to somebody else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? There can be sinful behavior in the local church. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. Well, Paul says, brothers and sisters, in verse 1, that could mean both everyone, brothers and sisters in the church, or it could refer additionally, or perhaps only, to those who have some sort of leadership role. But the purpose in facing up to false teaching or false bad conduct is not to be proud or harsh or better. After all, I'm the preacher, or I'm the pastor, I'm the elder. But gently to correct the individuals in question lovingly. But it ain't easy, especially as pastors or group leaders in the context of a church. It can be tricky if someone's caught in sin to face the problem. I can remember a situation some years ago now in Belgium when I was pastor there, and a gracious, delightful young lady had been baptized as a believer. She would have been about 19 or 20, who seemed to take her faith very seriously. But it was revealed after a month or two that she was sleeping with her new boyfriend. She had a public profile in the church, this young lady, because she played music. Ruth, my wife, and I needed to face the problem. And believe me, it was hard. I can remember speaking to her and addressing the problem and saying, this is not her name, Deborah, what you're doing is against the law of God. We know you love the Lord Jesus. We love you. We really do love you. You need to stop what you're doing. So Paul prescribes, face the individual and their fault with care, lovingly, wisely, alerting them to the risks of association with that person or with hypocrisy. You who live by the Spirit, not people who are perfect, you should restore that person. Do you know, that reminds me a little bit of parenthood. many of you in this room have been parents or are parents. I mean, a father and a mother have the sacred role of raising their children. And an important aspect, but certainly not the only one, is one of discipline. Facing up to disobedience, facing up to the faults and errors of children. And we as parents, what mustn't we do? Well, run away from the problem, hide away, don't be lazy or absent, don't be naive, don't be weak, don't be cruelly proud either, don't be nasty, and don't be overindulgent. All those are risks, aren't they, of leadership as mum and dad, but be clear, bold, loving, humble and firm. I always remember my dad, or I think it was your dad, wasn't it? I forget now. But remembering somebody, a dad who would say, "We're not going to live this way." What daddy or mummy would say to a child, "We're not going to live this way." In other words, you don't decide what you're going to do, which is wrong. I will decide. We're not going to live this way. That puts the child in their place, with grace and love, of course. Now, secondly, in this passage, this is verse 2 and 5. Let's see if we can compare and contrast these two verses. Number 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5, for each one should carry their own load. Now, if you read that, as I do, quickly, you think, well, that seems rather, is that contradictory? Or, just a moment, carry each other's burdens, but each one should carry their own load. That seems a bit contradictory. How can I carry my own load and carry everybody else's? But the key is actually, because the word in verse 2 is the word burden. I think you have that in your translation. And in verse 5, it's load. And actually, in the Greek of the New Testament, two Greek words, different words, are used. One is baros, meaning burden, that's right. And one is phortion in Greek, which means load or responsibility. Not so much a burden, but a responsibility, the word load in verse 5. So each one should carry their own responsibility. So each, for verse 5, each believer is responsible for his own actions. I am directly responsible for my own faults and sins. We've referred to that to you already today. I'm not responsible directly for another person's sins. I must carry my own load, my own responsibility for good or bad. But in verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Burden. What is a burden? Well, for example, and it's only an example, someone may come from an especially difficult background, a Christian brother or sister, a very difficult background. It's not their fault. Illness, handicap, loss, parental abuse, broken family. How difficult it is. What a burden for those possibly young adults, to live in light of these things. And we encourage to share the burden. Share the burden by not judging our neighbour, our brother and sister in the context, but helping our neighbour, loving our neighbour. And in that way, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. Love your neighbour as yourself. Share the burden. And also then he says in verse 6, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. But those who benefit from good teaching share good things with the person who gives them that teaching. This could refer, of course, in the context of a local church, to remuneration, support, financial support of pastors or Christian workers, lady workers, men workers, in the context of a local church. But it could additionally mean sharing with the teacher the blessings of what you've learned from him or her. Now let's look at the second section, shall we? This is verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Well, the picture is pretty clear here, isn't it? It's sowing and reaping. There are two options, apparently. You can, verse 8, sow to please the flesh, or sow to please the Spirit. Same verse, verse 8. The former leads to destruction, the latter to eternal life. So there are results. That should be pretty obvious, shouldn't it? To what you do and speak. There is a higher law than just our own principles. I mean, in modern and postmodern secularism, which surrounds us in the UK, is much of it is proud and self-centered for the most part. It's notions like, I am free to sow what I want to and when I want to, and I will decide the fruit. I will decide the fruit. Really? And then they would say, there is no higher divine or other authority to which I am accountable. I define my moral behavior. I don't need God. That is much of the situation in modern secularism which we face day by day. But of course, in brackets, even without belief in God, there is what's called by theologians common grace. That is a God-given conscience, God-given conscience to all people, a sense of justice, innate sense of, oh, that's not right. That's wrong. Why otherwise are we naturally severely judging? What happens, for example, what is our attitude, our human attitude, apart from God and the Word, what is our natural reaction, for the most part, to somebody who rapes a young girl or woman, or who kills a man, or deliberately drives into a pedestrian in his car? What is our natural reaction? No! How dare he do that? How dare he do that? He must go to prison for that. So that's revealed, isn't it, in what's called common grace. That's because we're accountable. All mankind is accountable to a higher value. For example, we see that infidelity leads to upset and harm and disruption, doesn't it? Lies lead to conflict. Anger leads to damage. And here in this passage is an affirmation of the foolishness of godlessness, of godless immorality, of godless lawlessness, and the promise of the ultimate success, the fruitfulness of godly conduct and obedience to God's law. Not that we win salvation by our actions. That's another story. That's the gospel. But what we sow, we will reap, for good or bad. Don't be deceived by the lies of the world, the flesh and the devil. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Don't be deceived, he says, verse 7. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You cannot win. God will not be mocked. Don't be weary in doing good. Doing good will be fruitful. Verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not give up. And how can we help? Well, we can help others, can't we? In verse 10, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. By living the Christian life, by sharing the gospel, by not giving up in sowing to please the Spirit, in serving all our brothers and sisters. And I'm so grateful, honestly, in my Christian life, to those who have modeled the Christian life and Christian ministry for me for over decades now. What have they done, these people in my life around me? They've shared the gospel with me when I was a young man. I wasn't a believer. I was living a non-Christian life, stupid. Who taught me about the Bible and God's word. Thank you very much. I can think of a whole list of people even as I stand here. People who've cheered me on and encouraged me to keep going. These are the people who have been sowing, not to please their flesh, but to please the Spirit, who supported me in difficult times, who've helped me carry my burden, who've encouraged me in ministry in hard places, who've helped me. And an important, most important person amongst those is my lady wife, a Christian sister in Christ, who has cheered me on, stayed with me, and reminded me about the truths of the gospel. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do the good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family believers. And you can be useful as you sow the word, as you sow to please the Spirit of God and do good works and love your neighbors as yourselves. So how can we pray? We could pray something like this. Oh God, your word is true and works. Thank you for all those of your family who have sown faithfully the word of God. Have mercy on those who sow to the flesh, who are godless, immoral around us. Have mercy and keep me from pride. Help me to help others so they may see good works and give credit to you for your grace and love in the Lord Jesus. So use the truth of this passage to help us in our prayers. So as we finish, let us pray that very prayer. And I pray for you that you may sow and reap good fruit from what you sow.